Now, here's the thing. That service is in two parts. This mass of the catacombs, service of the word, anybody could come to. But when you took baptism and became a Christian, you could not be safe anymore. That was the automatic death sentence. So when we got to the second part of the service, the which is called the Mass of the Faithful, we call it the Great Thanksgiving, the Eucharist. The people who were there searching, the searchers, would leave so that they wouldn't come under that death sentence. Now, a searcher, a catechum, somebody who's studying the catechism, they're called catechums, could spend their entire life in that first part of the service and then take baptism just before they die. Think of the Emperor Constantine. Same type of thing, even though he considered himself, quote-unquote, a Christian on that. But baptism was important. So when you became baptized, then you became part of the in family. Of course, now, they're not stupid. The very thing that ends the first part of the service is the taking of the offering. I mean, Peter's not dumb. You got to fund the church some way. But after that, we have the people who face automatic death for the belief in Jesus Christ. You realize that the service we do today is 2,000 years old, and we're still celebrating Peter's contribution to our worship? It ain't bad for a fisherman, is it? All right, last week I preached on the dangers the church is facing in the 21st century. It scares me. And if it scares me, I know it scares you too. But we can see what is happening to our church in the present times. Folks, our younger generation hasn't been taught about the church. They don't go to church. They think it's a bunch of mystical gobbledygook. They don't know Jesus. They never have been a catechum for people who wanted to learn about Jesus. Whose fault is that? Mom and Dad. All right, so our sermon today is about koinonia. Togetherness, unity, fellowship. As Shakespeare wrote, either we all hang together or we all hang separately. You know, folks, I don't often give a law sermon because that's telling you what to do. But I think today I need to touch on it a little bit. You know, one of the things I try and do always is the proper distinction between law and gospel, which I took an oath to. But today I'm going to focus on the law a little bit. And what it is this. As Christians, we need to get involved. Well, the pandemic hasn't made that easy, has it? But if we don't stand up for our shared belief in Jesus Christ, who's going to do it for us? See the problem? And that's the problem we face. You know, I am so surprised. It's been so easy for the people who quit going to church. Those of our members who were faithful members. They just up and quit. Well, they're afraid. But yet, I see those same people at Walmart. I see those same people getting a puppy without a mask on. So to me, and I'm going to say this, it's an excuse. Hard to say that when you're missing two people. Excuse. There we go. But yet, we're talking about something that Jesus told us to do through the apostles, isn't it? Well, in the future, can there be a danger in being a Christian? Yeah, we're starting to see it, aren't we? And the thing is, that's no different from the first century church, what they faced. Did they give up? No, look at the billions of people who are Christian. They kept their nose to the grindstone and said, no. There's always a danger, but Jesus promised us, if we followed him, there's that promise of everlasting life with him in heaven. Especially for those who witness and share the danger of the Word of God for his sake. But my friends, it starts with koinonia. It starts with us right here getting together and hearing the Word of God. I mean, what's important? The Word of God. Is the Word of God only for here? We ought to get one of those signs, and I can't do it since it's an art. But the last thing you see when you go out of the parking lot is the sign says you're now entering the mission field. Because that's where it is. The Word of God belongs out there. But, and they know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they know we are Christians by our love. There's that word love. Do you have to go and browbeat somebody? No, you go out and act like a Christian. You're in a parking lot at Walmart and somebody's having trouble putting the groceries and stuff in the car. There was an older couple that were doing that, so I walked over and helped put their stuff in there. You know, what did it take? A minute? Okay, it's those kind of things, folks, that we do as Christians. Well, they might be offended. Oh, so what if they're offended? You know, of all the years that I go to Walmart and talk to people, I've had one person complain. One. And I've probably talked to hundreds of people. But I usually start, you go to church? Well, no. How come? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, then how can you be a Christian and not go to church? I had a situation, I was visiting one of my parishioners in a hospital in Cincinnati. And the guy that was in there was Southern Baptist. And he said, Pastor, would you pray for me? And I said, sure, what happened? And he said, well, I was out hunting Sunday morning and I dropped my shotgun and it blew my private parts. And I said, really? And I said, you just told me you were Southern Baptist, right? I said, why weren't you in church? You know, if you were in church, you wouldn't have had to worry about having your private parts hit with a shotgun shell. Is that law? Yep. Did he need to hear the law right then?
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's the purpose of the law? Remind us we're sinners and use it as a guide to go back to the gospel. Okay? But it's one of those things, you know, I just don't understand that. You know, I love to hunt and fish too, but I'm not going to do it Sunday morning. You know, come on. All right, so now we're back with the word love. Told you we were going to define it. The word for love that we're talking about in Greek is agape. Anybody remember what agape means? Ron, what was yours?
Unconditional positive regard.
Unconditional love is agape. But what also has to be with agape? Sacrifice. Unconditional love with sacrifice. Think of Jesus going to the cross as agape. Unconditional love with sacrifice. Well, does that mean that the only way we can do that is go to the cross? No. But you might have to give up hunting and fishing on Sunday morning. See where I'm getting at, where I'm going on this? You know, it doesn't have to be major, but just do something. Well, our love our Savior had for us was that. So how do we finally define love in English? I've talked about this before. It's when someone else's happiness is more important to you than your own happiness. Think about that for a second. The love you have for someone else is more important to you than your own. Remember what the cross is. It's what we receive in the middle. And then what do these do? What goes out to those around us. So if we have just what we receive, but we don't have this, are we actually receiving love? Luther says that you have to be a conduit for love. It has to come into you, and then it has to go out. And so if it's going out, that means you got to talk to your fellow man, doesn't it? All right, so the next time you're standing in line at Walmart, which we all do, you know, talk to the people around you. Hey, how you doing? How's your day going? You know, I really like your blouse. Okay? Or to a guy, I said, yeah, this week, I said, man, those shoes are nice. He said, yeah, aren't they though? You know, we just start talking. He says, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a clergyman. He says, you are? And I said, yeah, you know, I got stuck in it. We were laughing. But it's those kind of things. Yeah, you know, I'm retired. See what I'm getting at? It doesn't have to be huge. You know, where do you go to church? That's my next question. I go to Set Sunshine Church. Great. When's the last time you were there? Ooh, you're asking a question that you might get mad, but nobody gets mad. Well, that's been a while. Oh, it's too bad. You know, if you really like the church, go back. If you're not sure about the church, boy, have I got a deal for you. That's how I talk to people. Okay? Is that hard? No, but you got to be willing to do it. There's the law, okay, that I was going to talk about today. So, my friends, when we participate in this worship service that's 2,000 years old, that was Peter's gift to the church, remember, we're coming together to ask the blessing of the Lord in our lives. And when we ask, what happens? We receive. Isn't that a wonderful gift? So when we come together and we pray this morning, we're asking the Lord's blessings on us, our families, and our country. And I think that is important and a wonderful blessing in our lives. May this blessing keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.